You do not have to know the past to understand the present. You do not have to know the past to understand the present. You do not have to know the past to understand the present. You do not have to be aware of the past to live in the present. Babies are born every day without having the slightest idea of what went on before them, and they do very well. Well, you say they have guides of parents and teachers who help them. Yeah, and the parents and teachers do everything they can to teach them all about the past instead of living in the now. If guides and teachers and parents and friends would teach babies to live in the now, to live at this moment with all of the awareness of the universal knowledge in their mind, ready to be utilized at any way, in any way they choose, what wonderful children we'd have. What a wonderful world we'd have. What, we wouldn't be reinventing the wheel over and over and over again. We wouldn't be creating new ideas which everybody else has thought about 100 times already. We'd be coming up with some brand new wonderful concepts, and that's terrific. So, you do not have to know the past to understand the present. That's our thought for today. And this is Dr. Herbert L. Arley, Dean of the University of Healing, bringing you the thought for today. The past is our limitation. Obviously, in the past, we didn't do things that we're doing today. In the past, you didn't drive beautiful jet airplanes, and you didn't have beautiful big airplanes that travel fast as light, as sound, that is. And then you trash the airplane because you think that it's interesting.
It's our kind.
But Rex has just finished chewing a bone, which took his entire attention. And he hadn't even noticed that Ellen drove up in the car, and the car was parked out there. Now, you see, that's past, but it's present for him. And so he's living in the present, looking at the car out there, thinking, who's that? I must make an announcement. There is a car out there, and perhaps someone is in that car that wants to come in and say hello. Well, Rex, they already came in and said hello. So Ellen says, me. So if we can learn to live in the present, what a joyous and wonderful, rewarding and fulfilling life we would have. If we could learn to live in the present. Now, do you have the capacity to live in the present? Do you have the capacity to live in the now? Well, you remember things, and that takes you away from living in the now. Every remembrance that we have takes us into our past. We, of course, are remembering it in the present, but it takes us into our past. Now, if we can live so vitally and so dynamically and so powerfully and so joyously in the now, we would never have any past. And there would never be any limitation. And whatever dumb things we did at any point in our life, they would no longer be there unless we did the dumb thing again and again and again. People say you should learn by your mistakes. Well, it's not a matter of learning by your mistakes. It's a matter of learning by finding that which works for you and applying that. I know that I know that I know I know the right answer. You see, as we realize this, that we have the Alexandrian Library, that great and wonderful library back in the early centuries, which had all the books of knowledge in the world in its walls, and it was very marvelous. It was a very fantastic thing, but all of a sudden it was destroyed. Boop. How it was destroyed? They say by fire, by whatever. Must have been quite a fire, and there was a lot of stone tablets in there as well as parchment books, but they were all destroyed. Now, was that knowledge destroyed forever and ever? Is that knowledge lost to all humanity forever? No, because that knowledge is in the universal bank, the universal mind consciousness, which is in each of us. Each of us are not part of the bank of knowledge. We are the allness of that bank. We do not take one drop of water from the ocean and have a, then somebody else takes a different drop and somebody else a different drop. They're all the same drop. Because every drop of water essentially is the same. Oh, it might have some different pollutants in it or some different constituents in it. Some water may be more brackish than others. Some water may be more base or acid, acidic or whatever. But it's all the same water. When you, evaporate it, then the water that comes back is all the same. It has left behind all of those things that made it different, and it comes back as the pure, unadulterated water, as it is when it goes up in the clouds and comes down in the rain. It's pure, unadulterated water, except by the time it gets to the earth, it has come through all of the dust banks that are up there and comes down upon the earth with all of the collection of dust that's in the air, and it brings it down to earth. And we think the water, however pure, should be more pure, and of course it is. Now, can we enjoy water from the sky that is free of any earth pollutants? Sure. Sure. How do you do it? Well, you get right up there underneath the rain cloud and catch it before it comes down through the atmosphere. Well, Herb, that's kind of silly. Yeah. No. What you say, is the door open? What you say is that the rain clouds are delivering pure, fresh water to me, and that pure, fresh water is exactly what I want, and it is pure and fresh, free of any pollutants, free of anything that is not what we want. So, you're the creator. You're the creator. You can create water with pollutants in it. You can create water with problems in it. Or you can create water that is the absolute most pure thing on the face of the earth. It's up to you. How do you do it? You do it with your thought. And you say, well, now that's silly. If you could do it with your thought, everyone would do it with their thought. No, they wouldn't. To do it with your thought takes a little bit of attention. It takes a little bit of awareness. Are you ready to give the awareness to it that it takes? How does it take that? It takes it very simply. Very simply it takes it because it's a one-pointed mind idea that works every time. The one-pointed mind idea that brings the results exactly the way you want it. Now, how do you think scientists come with their conclusions? They are so busy, 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 busy. They're working on possibilities. They're working on probabilities. They're working on things that they know bring about certain results, and that these stimulate other results. And their mind is so one-pointedly focused on their goal. You would think that every scientist would accomplish his goal. But they do not deserve to accomplish their goal. Herb, you're saying they don't deserve? I didn't think you would say a thing like that. They don't deserve to accomplish their goal because they're not one-pointed. They let people come along and say, oh, that won't work. Oh, that doesn't work. Well, I've tried that. And here, all these different scientists historically have tried it, and it doesn't work. That doesn't work. And, of course, if the scientist begins to believe it and allows a little negative thought passed into his consciousness, then it doesn't work. And it doesn't work not because it doesn't work. It doesn't work because that is their expectation for it, that it doesn't work. Their expectation is that it doesn't work, and with that expectation, of course, then it's not going to work. And we have to be very careful of our expectations, of what we choose to have in life, what we choose to do in life, how we choose to think about anything, because as a man thinketh, so is he. Now, how are you thinking about anything? When you have a problem, do you say, oh, poor me, poor me? And if that's what you say, then that's what you got. And if you have a problem and you say, let me see, I know that I know that I know, I know exactly how to solve this situation, and then you go and solve it. And you do. But you don't tell anybody you're doing it. In fact, the best thing in the world is never tell anybody you got a problem. Because the moment you tell somebody you got a problem, they're going to say, yeah, you do have a problem. I'm glad I don't have that problem. You can have that problem. And don't tell anybody your problem. Don't tell anybody your dreams. Don't tell anybody your goals. Because anytime you tell a person your dreams and goals, you're really expecting that they're going to help you accomplish your dreams and goals. Now, anytime you tell people your problems, you really are expecting them to confirm the fact that you have the most difficult problems that have ever existed. And man, if you come through this, you are really a master. Well, hey, you're a master because you don't have to come through it. The problem can be dissolved, and you live in the solution. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
The problem is dissolved, and you live in the solution. That's what it's all about. You do not have to know the past to understand the present, because the past does not accomplish anything for you. As once some scientists say, well, Edison knows 285,000 reasons why this particular way doesn't build a light bulb. Well, isn't that wonderful? I wonder who did the counting. I doubt if it was Mr. Edison, because he was too busy creating new ideas to accomplish it. He may have written them down in a book, which is probably what he did. He wrote down in the book every way that he had for accomplishing making light bulbs. And then, of course, he wrote down whether it worked or not. And then he went on to the next one. But do you think he ever reread that book? I'm sure not. And the only reason he wrote it down was that if it did work, he wanted to have the details right there so he wouldn't have to rethink them again. Ah, Eureka, it works, you know. Mr. Watson, come in here. Remember when he had the first telephone? He spoke on this wire between the two rooms, and he said, Mr. Watson, come in here. And so Mr. Watson came in. And it's fascinating because Mr. Crick, who is one of our great geniuses of the scientific world, who just passed this past month, he had his partner, Mr. Watson.
Yeah.
And remember Sherlock Holmes? What was his partner? Mr. Watson. Must be quite a wonderful name. So, really, think about it. Just let yourself flow and let your Mr. Watsons do the running around work and do the legwork. As Mr. Crick said, as Mr. Watson said, rather, Mr. Crick thinks up all the ideas and I carry them out. And Mr. Crick, Dr. Crick or Professor Crick or all the names you can want to give him, he thinks. And he thinks the whole thing through from tip to top to bottom to front and the whole world. And he knows exactly what's going to happen before it's even tested. And then he gives the information to Mr. Watson. And Mr. Watson, who respects him 100% and follows directions 100% and gets results 100% and has absolute respect for Mr. Crick. See, it's quite lovely, when you find someone who is a master and you walk with them on the path and follow their instructions implicitly, you get the blessing. And the day comes when you are the master and you walk your own path and you don't need anyone to give you any instructions. You don't give any instructions. You just are the example of how it works. And that is really beautiful. And that's really what it's all about. And that's really where we are. Mm-hmm. Just remember, you do not have to know the past to understand the present. You know the present to understand the present. And you live in the now. You live in the here and now, for that's all there is the here and the now. Have a lovely day and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.